This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the amygdala hijacked derails difficult workplace conversations, and what to do in the moment. Why your brain betrays you mid-conversation, and how to take back control. In short, the amygdala hijack does not just make difficult conversations uncomfortable. It physically cuts off your access to rational thought at the moment you need it most. When your brain reads a workplace conversation as a threat, survival instincts override everything else. The hijack happens in seconds, well before your conscious mind can intervene. Most people misread the symptoms as personal weakness rather than as a biological response. You can interrupt the cycle in the moment if you know exactly what to do. Definition: amygdala hijack conversations occur when a threat signal during a difficult exchange triggers the brain's survival response, causing the amygdala to override the prefrontal cortex. Rational thinking drops away, and the person reacts from fear or anger rather than from intention or clarity. You have prepared for this conversation. You know what you want to say. You've played it through in your head more times than you can count. Then the moment arrives. The other person says something unexpected, something pointed or dismissive, and it all collapses. Words you never planned come out. Words you planned refuse to come. You either push too hard or say nothing at all. And afterward, standing in the corridor, you know exactly what you should have said. This is not a failure of intelligence. It is not a failure of preparation. It is the amygdala hijack doing exactly what it was designed to do at precisely the wrong time. And Say It Right Every Time, I describe this as one of the central reasons difficult conversations go wrong, not because people lack skill, but because their brain removes access to that skill the moment the stakes feel high enough. Understanding this mechanism changes how you prepare, how you respond in the moment, and how you recover when the hijack has already happened. What your brain actually does when a conversation feels threatening. Most people understand the fight or flight response in physical terms. You encounter genuine danger, your body floods with adrenaline, and you act fast. What few people grasp is that your brain applies exactly the same mechanism to social threats. A critical remark from your manager, a colleague who dismisses your idea in front of the team, a conversation you have been avoiding for weeks, finally unavoidable. Your amygdala, the brain's threat detection center, does not wait for your rational mind to weigh up the situation. It acts first. Within milliseconds, it reads the emotional signal, flags it as danger, and begins repressing the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain responsible for clear language, complex thought, and measured response. As I describe in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time, the part of your brain responsible for rational thought and complex language, the prefrontal cortex, gets hijacked by the part of your brain responsible for survival, the amygdala. The result is not subtle. Your thinking narrows. Your vocabulary shrinks. Your ability to listen drops sharply. You may find yourself talking faster or going completely silent. You may feel heat in your chest or a tightening in your throat. These are not signs of personal weakness. They are the neurological equivalent of a fire alarm triggering a building lockdown. The system is protecting you, and it does not care that this is a performance review, not a predator. This is what makes the amygdala hijack so destructive in difficult conversations specifically. The conversations that matter most are the conversations that feel most threatening. The higher the stakes, the stronger the hijack. Why difficult conversations trigger the threat response faster than you expect. A general workplace meeting rarely triggers the hijack. A difficult conversation almost always risks it. The difference lies in what your brain perceives as the nature of the threat. When you sit down to address a colleague's repeated lateness, or to push back on a decision you believe is wrong, or to tell someone their behavior is affecting the team, your brain reads several danger signals at once. Your relationships, your reputation, your sense of fairness, and your self-image can all feel at risk simultaneously. The amygdala does not need all of those signals to be real. It only needs to perceive them as possible. If there is a chance that this conversation could humiliate you, expose you, or cost you something important, the threat response activates. This is why understanding the warning signs early matters so much. By the time the hijack is in full force, your options are narrowing fast. The window to intervene is in the first few seconds of the activation, not after you have already said something you regret. Learning to recognize the physical signals, the heat, the narrowing focus, the urge to attack or flee, gives you a chance to catch it early. There's also a timing problem that most people overlook. Anticipatory anxiety, the dread you feel before the conversation, is a separate phenomenon from the hijack itself. You can manage your nerves in the preparation phase and still be ambushed once the conversation begins. Something the other person says, a tone, a word, an unexpected challenge can flip the switch mid-exchange. The hijack does not always come from where you expected the threat to be. If these moments are happening repeatedly in your team's interactions, the pattern tends to compound and damage relationships far beyond the initial conversation. The mechanism in practice. Three moments where it plays out. Let me walk you through the hijack as it actually appears in real workplace situations, because the pattern is consistent even when the details differ. The performance conversation that turns personal. A manager sits down to address a team member's missed deadlines. The conversation starts calmly. Then the team member says, "I feel like you've been targeting me for months." The manager had not expected that. In less than 2 seconds, the conversation shifts from performance management to self-defense. The manager's tone hardens, her language becomes imprecise, and she either retreats from the original message or doubles down with language she would never use if she had 10 minutes to think. The hijack has taken the conversation to a place neither person wanted. The peer conflict that escalates without warning. Two colleagues disagree about project ownership. The discussion stays professional until one of them uses a phrase the other hears as dismissive. "That's not really your area, is it?" The second person does not process that as a legitimate point. His brain reads it as a territorial threat, an implied judgment of his competence. His response comes from the amygdala, not from his considered view of the project. The original issue gets buried under a defensive exchange that neither person can exit gracefully. The silence that signals withdrawal. Not every hijack produces aggression. Some people freeze. A junior team member has a genuine concern about a senior colleague's behavior. She has planned what to say, but the moment she starts, the senior colleague's posture shifts, just slightly, and she reads it as hostility. Her mind goes blank. She says something vague, deflects, and leaves the conversation having said nothing she intended to say. The cost of avoiding that conversation does not disappear. It compounds. Why people miss what is actually happening. Here is the truth of it. Most people who experience an amygdala hijack in a difficult conversation do not name it as such. They call it losing their temper, or going blank, or saying something stupid, or choking under pressure. They attribute it to a personal flaw rather than to a biological mechanism. That attribution matters, because it sends them looking for the wrong solution. If you believe you went blank because you're bad at conflict, you will try to fix your character. If you believe your colleague escalated because he is aggressive, you will avoid him. Neither of those responses addresses the actual problem, which is that the threat response activated, and nobody had a tool to interrupt it. There is a second reason people miss it. The hijack is fast. By the time you notice something has gone wrong, you are already several exchanges past the trigger. You are now managing the aftermath rather than the moment. This is why awareness alone is not enough. You need a specific, repeatable intervention ready before the conversation begins. Starting difficult conversations with a clear structure reduces the gap between triggering and recognizing the hijack, because you have something concrete to return to when your instincts fail. I covered this directly in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time. The gap is not between knowing what to say and not knowing. It is between knowing what to say and being able to say it under pressure. That gap is biological, not a personal feeling. Once you accept that, you can work with it practically. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Three tools that work in the moment. The three-second pause. The most powerful thing you can do when you feel the hijack beginning is pause before you respond. 3 seconds. That is the specific tool I introduce in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time as the 3-second pause, a micro-intervention that interrupts the reactive cycle long enough to re-engage rational thought. 3 seconds sounds trivial. It is not. In a charged conversation, 3 seconds of deliberate silence is enough to let the first wave of the threat response pass, to reconnect with your core message, and to choose your next words rather than have them chosen for you by your nervous system. It is not a hesitation. It is a technique. Practice it when the stakes are low, so it is available when the stakes are high. The Empathy Bridge. The second tool comes from the same chapter. The Empathy Bridge is the practice of acknowledging the other person's emotional state before you deliver your message. Not because you agree with them, but because the amygdala on the other side of the table is also scanning for threats. If you open with your position, the threat response may activate before they have heard a word of substance. A simple line such as "I can see this" has been frustrating for you does not concede your argument. It signals safety. It gives the other person's nervous system a moment to downgrade the threat level. When defense is lower, listening becomes possible. When listening becomes possible, the conversation can actually go somewhere. Managing conflict between colleagues who have already reached this point requires exactly this kind of de-escalation before any resolution framework can take hold. Naming the emotion. The third tool is the most underestimated. When you name what is happening in the room, directly and calmly, you reduce the emotional charge of the moment. This is clearly a sensitive topic. "I can see you're frustrated. My intention is not to upset you." This is not a manipulation. It is a neurological fact. Naming an emotion reduces its intensity. It moves the feeling from the amygdala's domain into the prefrontal cortex's domain, from pure action to conscious recognition. This works for your own emotions, too. When you privately note to yourself, "I'm feeling defensive right now," you're already beginning to interrupt the hijack. The act of labeling the sensation gives your rational mind something to work with. That is the difference between being swept along by the current and placing your feet on the riverbed. Preparing before the conversation to reduce the risk. The amygdala responds most violently to the unexpected. This is why preparation is not just a confidence-building exercise. It is a direct countermeasure against the hijack. When you enter a difficult conversation knowing your core message, or desired outcome, and the specific points you want to make, you reduce the number of moments where the unexpected can ambush you. You have an anchor. Even if the conversation shifts in a direction you did not anticipate, you can return to that anchor rather than scrambling for language in real time. In Say It Right Every Time, I outline a clarity checklist for exactly this purpose, a pre-conversation preparation tool that confirms your core message, the desired outcome, your supporting points, your personal motivation, and your readiness to listen. Using a structured method like the DEAL framework builds on this same principle of having a repeatable system available when instinct fails. The core framework I introduce in Chapter 5, built on clarity, openness, respect, and empathy, is designed precisely for this, a compass for when the amygdala has knocked out your internal navigation. One more preparation step that people rarely take: identify your personal triggers before you walk in. What specific words or tones tend to flip your threat response? A dismissive sigh, a certain phrase your manager uses. Knowing your triggers in advance gives you a split second of recognition when they appear. That split second is often all you need to choose the pause over the reaction. Conflict during meetings is especially prone to this because the presence of an audience raises the perceived social threat significantly. What to do after the hijack has already happened? Sometimes you do not catch it in time. The conversation went sideways, and now you are standing in the ruins of an exchange that did real damage. This does not mean the situation is beyond repair. It means you need to act quickly and directly. The first step is to stop the conversation if you can. "I think we're both too heated right now to have a productive conversation. Can we agree to continue this tomorrow at 10? This is not avoidance. It is a direct, honest intervention that gives both nervous systems time to return to baseline. It is far better than continuing to speak from a hijacked state. If you cannot stop it, apply the 3-second pause, name what is happening, and use a bridge. "I don't think that came out the way I intended. Let me try again." The 3-step recovery from Say It Right Every Time is acknowledge, correct, move on. It is exactly what it sounds like. You name the misstep, you correct your message, and you move forward without dwelling on the stumble. As I write in Chapter 6, your ability to recover from a mistake with confidence is often more impressive than not making a mistake at all. This matters. The conversation does not end when the hijack begins. It ends when you decide it ends. Recovery is a skill. It is not reserved for people who never lose their footing. It is the tool that separates the people who improve at difficult conversations from the ones who keep arriving at the same painful outcomes. Frequently asked questions. What is amygdala hijack in conversations? An amygdala hijack in conversations happens when a perceived threat, a harsh word, a critical tone, an unexpected challenge triggers your brain's survival response. Your prefrontal cortex loses control. Rational thought drops away, and you react from fear or anger rather than intention or clarity. How does amygdala hijack derail difficult workplace conversations? It derails difficult conversations by cutting off your access to clear thinking at the exact moment you need it most. You say things you regret, shut down entirely, or escalate a conflict that could have been resolved. The conversation stops being productive and becomes purely reactive. How do you stop an amygdala hijack mid-conversation? The 3-second pause is the most direct intervention. Stop speaking, breathe slowly, and let 3 seconds pass before you respond. This brief pause is enough to begin re-engaging your prefrontal cortex and interrupt the reactive cycle before it takes over completely. Why do difficult conversations trigger such strong emotional reactions? Your brain cannot easily distinguish a social threat from a physical one. Criticism, confrontation, and conflict all register as danger signals. The more the conversation matters to you, your reputation, your relationships, your sense of fairness, the stronger the threat response tends to be. What is the difference between anticipatory anxiety and amygdala hijack? Anticipatory anxiety happens before the conversation, in your imagination. An amygdala hijack happens during the conversation, triggered by something the other person says or does. Both disrupt your ability to communicate clearly, but they require different tools to manage effectively. Can preparation reduce the risk of an amygdala hijack in a difficult conversation? Yes, when you prepare your core message, your desired outcome, and your likely triggers before the conversation, you reduce the element of surprise. The amygdala responds most violently to the unexpected. Preparation creates a mental anchor you can return to when your emotions spike. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.